I am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. Meet Bobby and all of his crazy married friends at the Stanley Theater as the Arts Club Theater Company raises the curtain on its 44th season with the Stephen Sondheim Musical Company. The show, which won the Tony Award for Best Musical in 1970 and Best Revival of a Musical this year, revolves around the commitment-phobic Bobby, who's played by my guest now, Matt Palmer, a 30-something bachelor who doesn't know if settling down is for him. Bobby, that is, not Mr. Palmer. For two acts, he's surrounded by his terribly married friends who provide advice for their pal Robert. The rest of the cast are a who's who of arts club and local theater veterans who are some of the finest singers and hoofers in these parts. Company runs until the 14th of October at the Stanley Industrial Alliance stage. For tickets and more information, hit up their website, artsclub.com. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Matt Palmer. Good morning, Mr. Palmer.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
I was going to ask if there were any similarities between you and Bobby, but I realize that one member of the company is particularly close to you.
Yes. Sergine Hosey and I are in a committed relationship. We've been together for over 3 years now, and we live together and very happy.
Now, you were, the two of you were last seen in Suds, correct?
Yeah. We've been fortunate to work together several times, actually. We worked together in Suds and Beauty and the Beast. Suds was the most recent one, and it was a great time.
I don't want to get personal here, but is it easy to work with someone that you live with as well?
Well, it can be challenging, of course, because you're seeing them all the time, and it's such an intense. It's not like a normal, let's say, if two people work in the same office, where you might just sort of run into each other. I mean, it's a pretty intense process where you're working together in, say, it's rehearsal or in performance. I mean, you're interacting with each other all the time, and you have to find ways to communicate with each other in a healthy way and so on, so you can get what you need at work and you can get what you need at home. So it can be tough sometimes, but Sergine and I are, unusual couple in that sense. I mean, I've, met other performing couples and heard stories of how it just does not work for them. But we, the first time actually was after we'd only been dating for, it might have been 2 or 3 months, and she was actually directing Suds for the first time back in 2004, and she'd cast me as the fellow in it, and it was actually a wonderful experience. I had no idea what to expect. I knew it was her first directing experience. I didn't know what kind of real background she had, or as far as a director might be, and what kind of experience or how she might be, and it was actually one of the best experiences I've had working with a director, and we just have a very good chemistry in that department as well as in our personal life. We work really well together professionally.
Someone once described singing Stephen Sondheim songs as particularly difficult because they were literally one-act plays. Each song was a one-act play. Do you agree?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think that's one of the big challenges of doing this show is that, you want to find, of course you want to find your arc for your character throughout the entire play, but there's stories and arcs in every single scene and in every single song, and the stories, the songs definitely do have beginning to end, and they have a purpose to every single word that Sondheim chose and put in that song. You know that he did it for a reason. In fact, I was, just funnily enough, I was looking on YouTube and found a few Sondheim lectures. Well, not necessarily lectures, more like workshops where, he'd obviously gone to a school, maybe perhaps in New York, a performing arts college of some sort, and worked with a couple of students on his pieces. And one of them was singing My Faithful Friend from Sweeney Todd, which is where Sweeney's singing to his razor, calling it his faithful friend. And he starts off singing, the young man who was singing it started off singing the song, and Sondheim stopped him right away and says, okay, great, that's really good. But if you notice the first several words, you notice in the first, sentence, there's a lot of words with S's in it. The reason I did that is because I want a whispery quality to the song. He goes, and then when you get to My Faithful Friend, it just opens up. That's where it blossoms, because there's no more S's. I'm like, yeah, it's so true. With all of his music, you know that he picks everything so specifically for a purpose, to the emotional impression that it's supposed to make on the song. And that's a big challenge, because you want to make sure you don't miss anything that he put in there.
Well, when this musical came debuted in 1970, it was considered revolutionary, because it sort of changed the way a story was told.
Mm.
But he is, just listening to you talk about how he crafts music, crafts songs,
mm-hmm.
He's really the inheritor, I guess, the legacy of Rodgers and Hammerstein and those more traditional musicals that we're familiar with, correct? That he certainly learned the craft like he learned at the feet of Oscar Hammerstein. But he sort of reinvented the musical, if you will, and Company was certainly part of that.
Yeah, I don't know if I would call, I don't know if I would say he it was his legacy. I mean, I guess because he's, when I find it so hard to look at that, because his musicals are so different from theirs, in the sense of the format and the darkness and the conflict within them. I mean, you know, so many of his songs present conflict, certainly in this musical, Sorry, Grateful. You know, that's the title of one of his songs, you know, an oxymoronic title. It's beautiful, and it's so apropos when you listen to the song, because it's all about relationships. You're always sorry, you're always grateful. And sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that it's described as a musical comedy, but with some of Sondheim's songs, like Sorry, Grateful and The Ladies Who Lunch, it's dark, and it's sardonic and almost biting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to slot this one, really. I mean, we had our first performance last night, actually, and it was really interesting to see how much the audience laughed, because I didn't really feel that it was a musical comedy when I saw, like, that's what it says, you know, on the book, you know, a musical comedy, and I thought, well, maybe they just tried to tell it that way, but actually, there was a lot of laughing last night. I guess the point is that when you're in it, you're kind of going, oh, this isn't funny, this is serious, but you don't realize that when people are watching from the outside, of course, they're all going, oh, man, I was there, because it's all about relationships, right? I remember doing that, and then they laugh, because it is very funny. I mean, you're pointing out these things that we've all been through.
We're talking the morning after, I guess, that would have been your first preview last night?
Yes.
You go into the preview with an idea of the story, the character, and how you're going to play it. After the first preview, does it change?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing that I love about theater, is that the audience is almost just as much a part of what goes on in the play as the actors and the lights and the play itself. They definitely bring a certain chemistry to the show, and it all, you know, and how they may react will affect it from night to night. So you kind of have to be open to how they're interpreting it and how they're responding to it every single night, and then try and take it to that place. Or, you know, you're playing off of them. I like to think of it as actually being in relationship with the audience. You try and, that's the best way when I'm at my best on stage, it's when I've found my relationship with the audience. That's how I feel anyway. And so, yeah, it definitely affects the first preview. You always go out there going, well, I guess we're going to see how it's going to work. You know, I mean, they'll tell us. They'll tell us what's working and what isn't working. And then we can go back to the drawing board a little bit and work on it.
You're the rest of the cast, I was just reading some of the names here, names we've seen on the local stage in the past. It must be fun to work together and with this company.
Yeah, it's a fantastic company. There are, I mean, really, it's a cast of leads, is what I put it as. And I think that's what Bill was aiming for, because he realized it's such a difficult piece. It's really a very challenging piece. Everybody has to be strong singers, strong pitch, strong actors, because the story is kind of complex. I mean, it does kind of bounce around, and you have to, you know, you have to be adept at being able to do that. It's a wonderful company. I feel very fortunate.
Had you seen the show before?
Well, actually, I had the enormous treat of being on tour with the Number 14 from January to May, I guess, or just early June, and one of the places we went was New York, which was astounding. We played off Broadway for 3 weeks, right on 42nd Street, and so of course when I was there, I wanted to see as many shows as possible, and I went and saw. Well, I'd also seen a Vancouver production, I will say, at the waterfront, the one I can't remember the name of the company now. It's now I think defunct, but
I do remember that one, yeah.
Rick Tay
directed it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Sanders Whiting started Bobby. I saw that one and enjoyed that one, and then I saw the recent revival with Raul Esparza.
I saw that him perform Being Alive on the Tony Awards, and people can see that on YouTube.
Yeah.
It was absolutely spellbinding.
Yeah.
What did you learn from his interpretation of the role that perhaps you carry with you in this forthcoming production?
Well, to be honest with you, before I went to New York, actually before I did Year in Town, I really tried to stay away from watching other people. When I was younger, I tended to mimic or, take on other people's performances, and you know, the whole point of anything artistic is you want to find your own impression of something. You know, you want to bring out your own, your own artistic feeling in something. That's the point. That's what I think it is, anyway. So I started to just stay away from watching musicals, which is really quite funny because, you know, that's my job, and, you know, most people, that's what they try to see as much as possible to learn, and of course that's very important as well. Then I did Year in Town, and I worked with Jay Brazel, and I had a great conversation with him, and of course, you know, you've got to look up to the guy. The guy's awesome, and so he was telling me how when he was taking on a role, he would try and see as much of other people as possible. And the point of that was that he wanted to see what they were doing wrong so that he didn't have to go through the process of doing that wrong as well. You know, like he could see and go, yeah, that doesn't work. So now I don't have to go into rehearsal and try that to see that it doesn't work. And I thought that was a really interesting way of looking at it. And I sort of said, well, don't you get, you know, worried about copying them or something like that? And he sort of said, well, you know what? If it's fantastic, why not do it? I mean, if it's really great, then, you know, and you can't think of something better, then you might as well, you know. So, I thought, well, here's a guy who really knows what he's doing. He's been around for a long time, so I'm going to try and embrace that, see what that feels like. And so I decided to go and see these shows. And it, more than anything, what did I get from it? I guess I got, what did I get from it? I got that you didn't, here's what I got from it. You don't really, with this show, you don't really have to do a lot with this role. When you're singing and when you're performing, you just kind of have to let the audience sort of see what you're thinking a little bit. And with the songs, you just kind of have to stand there and sing them because the words do it all for you. You don't have to do anything. You just have to stand there and present it well, and the audience will take it the rest of the way.
And Being Alive is one of those songs that you just, I mean, it's so wonderfully crafted by Sondheim that
you
do almost very little, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. You just stand there and allow yourself to feel, what the words are, what the words are saying, and that's really not hard because Sondheim presents it in such a truthful way. I mean, someone to hurt you too deep. I mean, it's such a wonderful way to talk about relationships.
Is it a challenge vocally, though?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he doesn't make it easy. I mean, he loves to put high notes on E vowels, which is not the funnest thing to say.
Right.
And not the most challenging thing, not the most easy thing to say. He loves to put long languid phrases with no breath, you know. And you have to find a way to make that work because you know that he's done it for a reason, and you know that if you can carry it through without the breath, there'll be a payoff. So, it's definitely challenging, and you just don't want to screw with it. It's kind of like, I feel like it's like Mozart or Shakespeare. You know, the words are written there; they're all there for a reason. So just do it.
interviewed Bill Millard a number of times this morning, actually, for I think the third or fourth time. What's it like to work with him?
It's great working with Bill. I've worked with him many times now, and I feel very fortunate to have done so. He's given me very many very wonderful opportunities, and this is, I think, like the pièce de résistance, really. What I love working about with Bill is that he really gives you the opportunity to play and explore, and he's always very open to your ideas, especially during this process. I found that, every concern that I've come to him with, he will take it in and listen to you, and he'll go, okay, well, let's try that. And really, that's what you want out of your director. You want to feel like he respects your input. He doesn't just think you're a pawn. You know, some directors feel that way. Everybody works their own way, and, it makes you feel a part of the process. And I always find that my best work comes from working with directors like that, who take what you have and then build from that, and then you go from there and build from that, and, you're going up the stairs together.
You know, I saw the show once, but long before I saw the show, I got the CD, and
yeah.
You didn't really need to see the show to understand the show, because just the music, the lyrics, and the performances just filled it in for you.
Right.
To perform it on stage, it seems to me, and I know nothing about acting in the sort, but it seems a tiring experience. When you come off the stage at night, you're on a high, obviously. How do you come down from that?
Well, yeah, you are on a high. I mean, it's essentially a bit like a sugar rush, right? I mean, you come off the stage and you're flying, hopefully, unless you feel like you just, had a really crappy show, which happens. After last night, you come off, it's your first show, and you're just buzzing because you've been out there putting everything that you have in you, pushing it out, and forcing it out, trying to give as much as you can so that the audience has a good time and gets the story. So you come off, and that's still kind of emanating out of you, and then, of course, like half an hour, 45 minutes, just like a sugar rush, you crash. Or an hour or whatever, it's different for everybody. It depends on if you go out and you continue to perpetuate that, if you go out for drinks or you're chatting and laughing, or if you just decide to go home and you walk home, then you just crash faster. But yeah, it's a very intense experience, and it's beautiful too. I mean, I always say maybe it's kind of sad, but I feel like I'm never more alive and in the moment than when I'm on stage, and I think it's one of the reasons I love it so much. But it's exhausting, and it's beautiful, and it's terrifying, and it's electrifying. It's a wonderful, beautiful thing.
Well, we'll see you in the show, and thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us today, Matt, and break a leg.
Thanks very much to you too, Joseph.
The company runs until October 14th at the Stanley Industrial Alliance Stage, artsclub.com for more information and tickets. I'm Joseph Planta.